The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is May 14th, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's my good friend John Wood. That's www.grasslandbeef.com. I've known John for about 15 years. John's been on the show. He's a fantastic person, man. Big supporter of the show. He's been on, and I say it, we're going to get him on, but he is very busy. And his father's in his 90s, and he works the farm. So you can understand what kind of people they are. Great guy, and I can't thank him enough for all he's done for me. Secondly, we have Saugerties Chiropractic Center. That's in New York, so it's only for New Yorkers. That's my chiropractor, Mark Colligan. Right now, they're in the process of building a brand new website. So to get a hold of them, it's 845-246-5020. Mark does everything. Soft tissue, trigger point. They've got the drop table, the deep tissue laser. You know, you want to do the pulse electromagnetic frequencies. Obviously, he can do anything with sports injuries. He does ART. You know, and he's a great guy to talk to, especially with about, you know, performance, et cetera, et cetera. And I've said this, we're working on this. He's down in the Hudson Valley, which if you know what that is, it's very hard with communications a lot. And he's had a lot of problems with his communications and with Skype. So we're hoping to rectify this. And Mark will become a regular on the show once a month. You'll love hearing this guy. I mean, he is just so good. He's a great storyteller, and he really knows how to convey his trade. He's excellent. So try him out. Go to dial 845-246-5020, and they will take good care of you. Next, we have Dr. William Wong, who's a regular now on the show, too. Here's another gentleman I've known for a long, long time, long before we started doing motivation. Go out to www.docsprefer, that's P-R-E-F-E-R.com. He makes fantastic. I mean, he formulates all of his supplements. Highest quality stuff, and he is fantastic. If you haven't heard him yet, go out and listen to the show, especially the testosterone show. He hits you right between the eyes with it. It's excellent. Next, we have my first guest ever on Motivation Muscle was Roger LaPointe. He's the president of Atomic Athletic. Go out to www.atomicathletic.com. Go out and check it out. He's got everything. And, you know, we had the safety squat bar up here probably for a little over a month. They're all sold out. And when he comes on next Tuesday, I'm sure we'll have something else that he'll want to get out there to everybody. And go out to www.atomicathletic.com and check it out. Last but not least, we have our good friend John Drake from MuscleMass.com. If you know anything about there, you've got to check it out. Family-owned, like all these people. It's all family. It's nothing else. Right now, he's giving to my listeners of Motivation Muscle 21% off his flagship product, Adaptogen. And you guys all know Coach Rob Regish. Rob's done blood work, and the stuff is authentic that's in it. So if you go out to his site, MuscleMass.com, go out to the discount code, type in Motivation. You'll get 21% off. It's free shipping, and if you buy three, you get one free. So go out and check it out, and we are going to have more from John. I have to talk to John Sunday afternoon. John is going to be coming on the show, and we are going to be doing a lot more with this guy. And all these gentlemen that are associated with the show, they all own it. It's all family, and if you need to get a hold of them, believe me, you can. If you don't, they will call you back. So go out to all of them and tell them Motivation Muscle sent you. Today, it's Thursday afternoon, and we have a new guest on the show. And I discovered Ryan Pitts from Well, I had bought a product from him probably about 5 years ago, but I saw a lot of stuff on Facebook, and you really need to go out and take a look at this guy's stuff. His website is StrongerGrip.com. I mean, if you like maces, awesome looking. But I'll tell you what, he makes these Thor's hammers, and I'm like, oh, my God. He made this one that I was like, he's got this one, and it looks like it's got like a rivet on each corner. And the painting he does, we'll talk about that, obviously. The quality of this stuff and the look of this stuff is unbelievable. And we all know the eye tells us a lot of things. So to give you a little bit on Ryan, he's a fabricator, obviously, to build these things. Entrepreneur. He's definitely a grip master for sure. You know, he's a strength athlete, obviously. He's arm wrestled. But we're going to get into a lot more of that. We got a real interesting show here with this gentleman today. Ryan, I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Eric, thanks for having me. It's exciting. I love seeing things like this happen, and I'm really excited for what Motivation and Muscle is going to become.
Thank you. It is very exciting, and it's exciting to have people on that are enthused and like what they're doing. For any of the people out there that are not familiar with you, why don't you give us a little bit of a bio on yourself, if you wouldn't mind, Ryan?
Sounds good. I got bitten by the physical culture bug when I was 14 years old. My dad had these Joe Weider lessons, 1 through 7. I think the date was like 1950s on them. And I don't know if he used them or not, to be honest, because I never saw him do anything. But at 14, it was gold. I uncovered those things, went from week 1 to week 7, did all the body weight stuff, and was just hooked like any young man at that age that knows they have control over something like that. It was just, you know, that was the spark that got me going back then, and I'm still going now. This Sunday I'll be 42, and I have not stopped.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. That's what got me into the physical culture. From there, at 16, I started at a machine shop as a draftsman. So here's this young kid, loving strength. I love art. I love drawing. And I got a job at a machine shop as their draftsman. Mm-hmm. And the draftsman led into becoming a journeyman machinist. I went through the apprenticeship program. And you have drawing, you have art, you have metal, and you have muscle, and all that turned into stronger grip down the road.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know something, I said this on a number of shows. I think when you understand, especially what we do, I've always believed that you become very creative. Now, can I draw? Not really, but I know I can convey it to you. Like if I came to you and said, I want to do this, maybe I could make some kind of chicken scratch drawing. All right.
Yes.
But here's the thing, Ryan, I could describe it enough to you where we could build something. And I truly believe, like I'm by myself mostly. All right. So I've had to draw up a number of things, and my friend's been a welder for years. He owns a body shop. So he's usually the guy that I bring the drawings to, you know, whether it's a Hoosa steel stone. We've built the thing where if I want to press big dumbbells, I can do it in the power rack the way we built this big apparatus that goes on each long rod. It fastens right down on it. Obviously, I put the dumbbell in the loader, get right underneath, you know, get to the side of it.
Yes.
Put my big paw through there and press it, okay?
Yep.
A number of things. You know, we've built these Frankenstein barrels where I do the thigh lift, basically, 55-gallon drums. We ran big over 3-inch tube through the center of them. This thing is insane. You can put any type of bar through it. You start that thing, that hand thigh, man, you come off like a beast with it.
Yes, I like that.
And those things try to walk you big time. So, you know, I might be talking about some stuff. I've got a lot of cool stuff out there. I'll have to send you some pictures of stuff. But there's a couple other things I want to start to get into backlifting. That might be something we need to talk. There's a lot of things, but I've got to make some changes out into the gym. But I'm definitely kind of going even crazier with stuff right now. And I love all the grip stuff, obviously. I've got a number of grip machines from, you know, Iron Mind, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, this is what I want to ask you getting started. Obviously, you know, we all started, you know, Weider stuff, you know, Bob Hoffman. You know, we were talking about this the other day. I think DNA is a funny thing because my father was a good athlete. He lifted weights, but he wasn't a weight lifter like we do stuff, okay?
Yeah.
My mother, you know, she used to like to ski. I wouldn't, you know. But they were never sloppy looking people, and they still aren't. Even, you know, now they're, you know, late '60s, early '70s. Okay, my dad's passed away, but my mother's still with us. The interesting thing is, and it might have been because of Jimmy too. Every one of us is either in weightlifting or martial arts, or some are both. Okay, and biking and stuff like that. And some of us have done some big things, gone away and lifted stones, and this and that and the other thing. And this is my feeling, and we're going to go right into you, but this is a question I ask a lot of, especially guys that are like in the, working with your hands, you know, bending metal. See, I just think that goes so much with what we do too. I love that trade. I love anvils. I love pounding stuff, you know, like beating tires, whatever we're going to do. It just kind of goes with the flow with everything. What do you think about this? You think there's somebody when we're coming through the clouds, the sky, wherever we're landing, when before we're, you know, even born, it's almost like, is someone dumping like the lift and steel DNA in us just randomly? And suddenly it's like, I knew the first time when we went over to my Uncle Will's house, and he was a master. He used to build, that's what he taught in shop.
Yeah.
A guy could build any, you know, cabinetry, anything like that. He built this wooden bench, man, that I swear to God, I don't know if he could break it. It was unreal. and they gave me sand weights, okay? This is what I want to ask you. I knew the day I touched that weight. Now, look, I played organized sports, baseball, football, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Liked it, was fairly good athlete at it, all right? But I knew when I touched that bar that day, I knew I found it, man.
Yes.
Did you feel that way when that first time you grabbed your first bar with iron on it?
I certainly did. And yeah, I don't know if that's sprinkled in, is it nurture, is it nature? But that I went so far as, because I played baseball and football in high school, and it was the point like either junior, senior year playing football, or I went through all the grueling practices and then just said, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to lift weights. So I quit and just kept going to the gym.
That sounds exactly like me. It's like you don't really care. You know, team sports are all right, but I always like the responsibility. Can I do it or not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are we selfish? I don't think so. Do we pull our own weight? Sure we do. I don't think others live up to what we expect of them.
Well, I agree with you because I think that we have standards that most people aren't going to even touch. That's – you know, Rob and I were talking about all the winning attitude, and a thing that I find now that is very frustrating to me, especially I train people every now and then, you know, when I can. I don't care what age you are. Now, I have a younger kid, one of my best friends, the welder, Alex. His son is going to be coming aboard, and we're going to train. He's 14.
Nice.
And it's going to be very interesting because – one thing I've come to find now more than ever, obviously I've got to carry stones and sandbags and rocks and all that to do the stuff I do. If I knew today what I know now, or yesterday, you know, back when I started what I know now, and this is what I'm going to do with this kid, is this. I don't let anybody come here. I don't care how established you are. Not unless you're at like pro grade or what, or you're like, you know, at a level you've been doing it, okay?
Right.
But if you're not, and most people are not, I make them start all over with their body weight. And the reason why I want to do that is I'm a big believer, if you can master body weight, you can master anything, okay?
Definitely.
But I will tell you this, Ryan. If I knew back then what I know now, I would have been carrying stuff back when I started, when I was like 9 years old, all right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I think carrying creates a body on you like no other. When I get back from Iceland, I mean, I plan on going to Scotland next year to lift the Dinnies and the Inver. I'll tell you what, I would like to go strictly on a year's worth where all I do is lift stones. I mean, I work my neck, obviously, but what else do I got to really do? I can front squat any of those stones, and I've got stones that range up to 500 pounds, all right, with the steel stuff. With the regular stones, they're in like 440 range, all right? Different feel. I mean, if you can front squat something like that, you're devastating,
yeah,
all right?
You're powerful, yes.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that I can create a power in this kid because, you remember, 14 years old, he's a testosterone pumper right now, right? Because it's funny, he'll say, I'll talk to him because he's bugging all the time to get over here. Well, you know, the word of the day is bench press, all right? And they're all like, well, look how much I use and I'm bigger than you. And it's funny as hell because I relive that all the time, you know what I mean? Somebody, even today, they'll say shit, you know? But you know what I'm going to do? If he listens to me, and I know he will because I've known his dad since I was a little kid, if he sticks around long enough, he's going to have a body that's going to be totally different from these other bozos that are just doing their arms and chest.
Right.
It's going to be very interesting because it's going to be like, you know, how'd you get this way or whatever. So I love stuff like this because especially you get it. Now, that's an attitude, you know, a 14-year-old. You're going to get a kid that's full of vim and vigor. He hasn't got his head beat in by everything that's going around him and told him you can't do it, et cetera, et cetera. I feel, and that's why I said to you, you know, with what you and I are doing and everybody else that we talk to, I don't know what it is. I call it DNA. It could be the bug as soon as you grab the bar, whatever. But I just feel that there's something that separates us from others. You know, you and I have all played sports. So has most of the gentlemen and ladies that are on this show. But there is something definitely different when I talk to everybody. Everybody's a little different, but it's all the same once we start talking. What happened? Why'd you do this? What came into your life that made you suddenly charge into the iron? And now, you know, 20 years later or whatever, maybe 15, you know, you're competing or you're building these, you know, one car garage gyms that people don't even have this in a commercial gym. All right. And this is where it gets very interesting, and this is why I love talking to the folks coming on here and just kind of finding out what was it, you know, and why is it today, say, 20 years later, 25 years later, you have the same hunger? What do you think? I mean, in your spot, I mean, you've been lifting a long time. You arm wrestled. You're a grip master. You know, you build things specifically for stuff like that. What is it, Ryan? What do you think that's got you still?
What it is for me is that constant, you know, urge to get better at whatever. If I come across, you know, like grip when I first stumbled on that, and then with my skill set, I made grip stuff. Same with arm wrestling. I got you know, just in totally taken away when I saw the arm wrestling at the Arnold's 2 years ago. And I had to start doing it. And then from that, I build stuff that goes with that. But it's just always wanting to get better. And I think it's the mindset of it doesn't matter how old you are, you will always want to get better at something. It's not, you don't see something new and say, oh, I'm too old. You know, and that's the mindset I think people should gravitate towards is not the limitations, but lift all those and see everything as being possible. That way you have no age, you know, no circumstances that can limit you.
No, I agree totally. I mean, that's how I think. It's like, you know, I've decided, you know, I want to get into backlifting after a lot of this stuff. You know, I want to have the yoke available all the time. I've got some ideas that, you know, I want to put a big steel pole below the frost line and do the big toe chain with the big pulleys. You know, hook that to a 30-gallon barrel, start throwing rock, metal, whatever in it, and be able to, like, just pull that thing up as high as I can. Just very brutal things that I think, this is my opinion, most people now would tell you, you know, you're getting up there in age now, you know, you're getting in your late 30s, 40, early 40s, don't you think it's time to kind of slow down? And you know what my response is to him? I'm like, it's basically almost like go to hell. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, I understand totally where you're coming from. I think we have this insatiable hunger in us. And a lot of people are never going to identify with this because I think most people feel now at 25 you're pretty much dead.
And that isn't now, that's a crime. They should be charged with something.
Yeah, it's called lack of living. Oh. You know what I mean? It's like, and you know something? I am like you. It's like you want to strive to keep getting better. There's something that just drives you, and it's like. You know, I can't imagine, and I hope I never have to face this. I hope when I go, right on the ground carrying something. I'm serious with you when I say it. I never want to face the day I can't do this anymore.
Right, right.
And I know that might sound cowardly, but it's like this is not a hobby. This is not a project. This is a lifestyle.
This is life. Well, you know what? Why is there such a, a big gap between how things used to be not that long ago when all the modern conveniences weren't available? You know, people right. had to build their houses. They had to chop wood. And now we're at a point where everything's done for you. And at 25, how can you be, how can you be spent? What did you do?
Yeah, no, I agree. And the most tragic thing now is you look at the kids. I mean, we've done shows, we've done articles on, obesity right now is at such a point around the world. I don't know if it'll ever come back because, everybody's coming out saying, oh, it's this one's fault, it's this fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's responsibility for taking on yourself.
Bingo.
Okay?
Thank you for using that word. I'm not sure it's a word a lot of people know.
No, they don't. And you know something? Lifters like us, you have such respect for your body and for yourself. It's very hard to, I have a hard time with sympathy with a lot of things. And I'll tell you why. When you see a 10-year-old kid that can barely move, all right, but he's got every gadget in the world, I'm saying that's the parents, man. That's them not putting their foot down or wanting to be friends with their kids, buddies. Look, my parents were never unfair. You'd think at times they were, obviously, because you got in some shit.
Yeah.
You got in trouble and you're like, ugh, like that. But you know something? Now you understand you're a little older and, I said before, I wish my dad was still alive because my father would have enjoyed what I'm doing right now so much. We would have been a little older. We wouldn't have been butting heads as much. But I miss my father in respect to there's a guy that's seen a lot of things that I'll probably never see, all right?
Yeah.
I like people like that. You can bounce ideas off of, or just somebody you can talk to, and it's like, it's not going to go all over the world. You know what I mean? It's like there's a code. It's like I tell you it stays here and that's it. And it was the same way. I had a great friend who was a chiropractor, John Ridge, and I had gone to him for years. And he passed away last year of cancer. Let me tell you, Ryan, he was one of the most fabulous people I've ever met in my life. Just always kind of had an answer, never pushy.
Yeah.
I mean, we had our arguments. Believe me, we begged to differ on a lot of things. All right. But here's the thing: never took it personally. And at the end of the day, we'd always shake hands, and that was it. Okay. And he was a guy I could go to. He was a guy that pushed me to do this big time. Obviously, he was an entrepreneur. He made all right money, but He was by no means wealthy, but the wealth that he had, you couldn't buy, and the logic and the things he'd seen, and just kind of like not pushy, but kind of like just pushing you to, okay, this is maybe how you want to go or think about this. It's things now like that. It's like, I wish both, and I know they know what's going on. I'm sure they're still around in spirit.
Yeah.
But it was very nice to have that type of people surrounding you like that because, I think you attract what you think about most anyways. I'm a big believer in that. I just think that we're lacking a lot of that now. And this is one of the reasons why we came up with the whole idea of the concept of motivation and muscle, because we're trying to go out and claim these people that need help. And it's like, listen to the podcast, man. There's tons of material there. You can get a hold of me. Most of the people that come on here give an email address or whatever. I've never had anybody on the show say, we wouldn't be glad to help you.
Nice.
No, it's just, let's get into this. I want to really talk about, if you don't mind, some equipment, obviously. I know you've seen different things that made you want to build equipment, but what kind? I mean, this stuff is out there. That's what I love about it. It's like different. I mean, this is not mainstream, even though probably it will be coming in more and more down the road. What inspired you? I mean, I know you've gone to the Arnold, you saw stuff with them, but you know, something had to really like grab you by the neck and say, wow, man, this is something I think I want to do. You're a machinist, obviously, you know how to build design, but what got you into like, you know, I'm really captivated with Thor's hammer. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Concept. We all know Thor, superhero. We love Thor, but I got to be honest with you. The Hulk has always been my favorite. And I've always said, if they came to me right now and said, we'll stick green gamma in your veins and anything can happen, I'd go try it.
Yeah. I'm your
so
guy.
How's that for dedication?
I'm your guy.
That's strength dedication, my friend. Tell me about Thor's hammer.
That one was just kind of a spinoff of my longer hammers, and really they were just to kind of do club movements with, instead of using the basic club shape.
Yep.
So obviously everything looks cooler wielding a hammer as opposed to a wooden bowling pin.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my opinion.
Those things are like, it's like, I don't know if I'd want to scratch them.
Yeah.
Let me ask you now, I mean, size-wise, now we're just talking Thor's hammer. Now, I think I've read some stuff, but if I'm wrong, obviously correct me. Now, what are the weight? They come in different weights, or are they build to weight? How are they set?
Like a lot of my gear, it's all loadable. So it's got a cap where you can put shot, you can put coins in it, you can put nuts, washers, sand, whatever you want. And progressively load it. So the whole idea, obviously, that's been done before, again and again, but moved over into implements like sledgehammers and stuff. It just made perfect sense.
Yeah. Now, with obviously, you're a Highland Games guy. A lot of that inspire you from the games?
Some of it. And you know what? I think you're like me. So whatever you get into, the strongman, the stone lifting, you're driving around, or Highland Games, everything you look at, you want to lift or throw, you know?
Or buy.
Yes, or buy.
that's the thing, man. I mean, I've got so much stuff out there, and it's just been, you know, with the last few years trying to build the business, or there'd be a ton more laying out there, believe me. I mean, you're a grip guy. You know, obviously, do you do – what do you do for grip? I mean, obviously, you got all your stuff. Have you built – well, I probably shouldn't ask you to tell your secrets, but you've got a lot of grip stuff out there that we don't even know about that you play with?
Oh, at my shop. I've always got toys that were, you know, are in the middle stages of what could this be. You get to a point when you're a one-man show in manufacturing, you're limited just because you don't have capital to have a lot of inventory.
You
build this or that, and yeah, oh, that's a nice piece, but do I put it online, because that's just another thing that once somebody orders it, I got to make it, you know?
Yeah, but the nice thing is, you know, what I mean, it's nice to have inventory, but it's also nice to know that you just got something you built.
Yes.
You know, I always like that better, and you know, I know with some of the stuff I talked to you offline about, there's no way I can keep inventory of that stuff.
Right.
There's no... I don't even care if I'm making good money. I don't want it hanging around, because my whole thing is, I've always been someone like, if I came to you and said I needed X, Y, Z, I'll wait for the stuff, because I'd rather just have you just built it. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter to me how long it takes either, but I just, there's, to me, it's just a better feeling with a product.
Yeah. The feeling I get, or what I've gotten the vibe back from my customers, and And I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a huge percentage of people that come back for more because once you get the stuff in your hands, it's like nothing you've seen before, you know. Nothing's designed or has that that appeal to it or done the way it is that I'm doing it, and it means something. And
it does. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think a big part is because it means a lot to me. You know, I love what I do. I love that I'm able to create, in my opinion, strength art and put it out there. It'd be different. It'd be a disconnect for me if I had, you know, okay, have this shop make 100 of them and then we're just shipping them out. It wouldn't have that same passion for me.
No, I agree because, you know, who wants assembly line stuff?
Yeah. I mean, and if it's good and well-designed, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Like you said, it really isn't. And I think to the real pure strength enthusiast, that's the way you want
it. Yeah.
You know, I want you to tell me, okay, it's going to be here in 2 weeks, or you call me and say, look, I got a little delay. Is that all right? Yeah, fine. It's like because I know it's coming, and I know the quality is high, and stuff like this. I mean, I've got this the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do down the road is I'm going to have you make me some FBC clubs or Motivation and Muscle. We'll have you do that.
Yes.
That's what I have that stuff engraved right in it the way you do it. I mean, that's the cool stuff. How long has Stronger Grip been in business, Ryan?
I started, I believe, 2006 was the first website I put up and made by myself. Prior to that, I was just selling like my grip balls on eBay.
Oh, okay, wow. So you're young
for the most part, yeah. And then it goes back to my teenage years. After I moved out at 18, I was actually building flat benches, bicep benches, and power racks, and selling them through the classified papers to pay rent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone wanted you to do that, would you ever think about doing that anymore? Power racks, say?
Possibly, yeah. Okay. Right now, I'm so swamped with the arm wrestling stuff, but as my plan and my mind expands to more than just me, yeah, definitely, I would love to do a lot of custom stuff like that.
Well, I'll have to send you some pictures, too. I want to make some improvements on it, but I've got let me think. How many do I have? One, two. I want to say I got three pieces that we built. You know, I'd like to see. Maybe you want to take a chip at one. I'd like to just see a variety of things I'd like to do. I think those stones are big time the way I want to do it, two different ones. I really think that thing for the rack is insane because you don't need any spotters. You're sitting in a power rack and you're lifting off something that's fully secured.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, let's face it, you're not going to find people to pick up these monster dumbbells and lay them on your shoulder, nor do I want anybody doing that.
Right.
Because, you know, that's a balancing act right there. And anything I'm going to press off the ground, I'm cleaning. But when you are limited with who you have to train with you, and I don't get a lot of takers with what I'm doing, you know, you got to be damn careful and obviously very secure because we know how there's been a number of people killed in doing this stuff,
yeah.
And it's very easy to get hurt and maimed for the rest of your life. I'll tell you right now, all of my work, pretty much, other than stone lifting. Is pretty much all relegated to the power rack, or I have. We took 6x6s. You'd love this on the side of my garage, and buried them below the frost line. And we have the back of them lagged right through the garage wall and bolted.
Yes,
this thing is a friggin' hammer, man. It's the length of my garage almost. Not that it's a huge garage. We have dip bars. We have, you're going to love this, we have logging chain that's all put through the rack where I can do partials with a hoose of steel stones because we put like a big hook on it that we can put, I can't think of the name of them. They use them for, we used everything off a tow truck, the chain.
Okay.
And they got, I can't think of the name of it. When you secure it through the stone, it's got like, it's almost like something that just keeps turning onto the thread and locks it. They use it all on tow trucks and stuff. You couldn't break this thing with a hammer. I mean, it's unreal. So we've got that. But the best thing, I think, on the whole rack besides that is when I went to Iceland the two times, I noticed something that I thought was something I should take care of right away. When you go to lift that stone, I mean, it's a beast. You know, there's nothing to really grab onto. It's volcanic, so it's very slippery. A lot of times it would try to go forward on you, so it would put a hell of a pull on the insertion between the pec and the shoulder.
Okay.
I was like, you know something? I don't really like this. Not that it did it every time, but I don't like especially pectoral, you know? Well, my buddy's an electrician, so I said, look, I think doing the flat bench with a dumbbell is essential. But once again, how much am I going to be able to clean and put up by myself, all right? Now, here's the funny thing. I like using 2-inch apparatchia most of the time because then I get the grip into, obviously, and it's going to limit what I can push, and that's a good thing for me because I can get in big trouble at times with things.
Right.
So here's what we did. So once again, we ran the big chain through that 6x6 all through the top, came down. And I don't know what you would call them, but they use it, being an electrician, where this thing is like cable, but it's all coated in like hard plastic.
Oh, sure. Yep. Okay. Braided wire. And
I guess you'd call that, and picture like a V in the road, okay? It's got a loop on each end. All I do, man, is just slip the end of the dumbbell through it, get on the ground, press that B straight up, and do whatever I want. If I put too much on and get caught, no problem, man. It sits there and dangles while I crawl out and don't get hurt.
Yes, nice.
So those are some of the things I've come up with. Also, too, for the rack we've built, it's all laminated wood, and we took plastic and shaped it exactly how you would be able to put it on the long rods in the rack. I put that thing down. It fastens right to it. I can lift that Hoosa steel stone at any angle I want, man.
Oh, nice.
So I got the inside and the outside. I've got two stones here. I've got the other one I gave to Steve Helmicki. He's up in Buffalo. He owns a big gym there, and he's on the show all the time, too.
Nice.
He's got the Hoosa steel, too. So we've got three of them in circulation right now. I've got the 1 and 3, and he's got the 2. So That's that. I mean, so when you're talking equipment, I'm not to the degree you are, but I love building stuff. You know, I won't go back and do it. If I had the time right now, I think I'd even take a welding course, but my stuff would be ugly, you know? But here's the deal. I love, you know, I know, like I said, I'd like to just start heating steel and just beating the shit out of it on an anvil all the time, just for the work.
Right, right.
I love all that stuff. Blacksmith. Maybe that's what I was in another life. Now, do you get a lot of calls for custom stuff, or do you pretty much what you put out there just flies?
A lot of custom stuff. Yeah.
What are these guys? I mean, in the grip world, which you're in. I've got grip machines here I've gotten from Iron, you know, Iron Mind, obviously Soren X and people of that. What else are they doing? I mean, you know, we know the standard fare, wrist rollers, grippers, all that. Is there stuff out there that people are doing real different that you could talk about?
Probably not. I think the biggest one of the missing links is just picking up stuff and swinging it around with different grip sizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we talking mace stuff or hammers?
Yeah, things of that nature, the clubs and the maces, sledgehammers,
yep.
Different size handles, but there's the different, I mean, any shape you grab of course works something different, but I've always tried to not replicate stuff that's already out there, so that's kind of why my stuff is what it is.
Yep. Yep. Well, it's definitely different from the crowd. There's no doubt about it.
Yes. Although the crowd enjoys some of my stuff, and they have taken their shot at replicating it, but that's a compliment.
It is a compliment. As I always say, go with the original. That's the way it is. You need a lot of space, obviously, to do it, because I've never thrown a mace or just I'm mainly like into the hammers too. Now, if I've got Thor's hammer and I want to throw it, am I just spinning around? I've got one hand on it and I'm letting it go. I mean, educate me a little bit on that, because I'm ignorant to that whole thing. Basically, I've probably seen it, but, you know, I'd like to – you're the guy. How – if I – say I was going to throw a 15-pound Thor hammer, okay? I load it up to – I don't know what they weigh empty. Well, let's just say 15 pounds. Am I doing it like that? Am I, you know, like I'm going to throw a shot? How do – what ways are they throwing these hammers?
Well, that's kind of new. I don't know if they're actually throwing them or not.
Okay.
To be honest, I think
are they beating stuff with
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's just from what I know, swinging and beating stuff. But see, which you just mentioned that. Now I've got ideas for more throwing friendly stuff.
That's good. See, you came on. We got some ideas.
I love
here.
It. Yes, and I want to talk to you afterwards about something too that I think we could work
sure.
on.
Absolutely.
What I did do, I did a custom one for – are you familiar with the Legend of Mick Dodge?
No. Now, if I go out to the site, can I see that?
Nope, I don't have it updated with anything okay. like that. But he's on National Geographic Channel.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not familiar with it. No?
It's a TV show. The guys follow him around. He lives in the woods in Washington State. Big, long beard, Marine.
That my brother knows of him. That's where he lives in Washington.
Oh, yes. I'm certain he knows of him. But he's ordered some hammers from me. And one of the few custom things I did to his was put, like, loops on the handle where he could attach, like, a rope and swing it around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that. And then he'll throw them around trees. And he hangs it on him and walks through the woods with them. But, yeah, that was.
Damn, man. Holy well, on the Thor hammers or any of your hammers, is there anybody that's like just ordered something that they put massive amounts of whether it's shot or BBs or water or sand in it? I mean, these things are real interesting. What's the weight capacity that you've dealt with, which was the biggest with anybody?
I believe my ultimate Thor. I've sent one out with enough shot, and it'll get up to about 55, 56 pounds with steel shot.
Ow.
I mean, that's unruly with the leverage points of them. But
I don't see how you – man, I know I'd love to try it, but I'm sure I wouldn't move it, man. I mean, you know.
Another one, have you seen my B-52 clubs?
Yes, I have.
I sent one of those out, and a guy requested it. Enough shot to fill that whole thing up and with it loaded, it weighed 105 pounds.
Wow.
It's unruly.
Yeah. Well, you know something? I mean, let me ask you this. I mean, and I know obviously you're going to tell me yes or no. What if you just want, I mean, I'd have to talk to you anyways about a program to go with it. As far as say you wanted to just play around with hammers,
yeah.
Okay? And I'm not going to do any other grip work, all right? I'm not hitting machines. I'm not going to be pulling stuff with one arm. I'm not going to be using 2-inch Apollon axles, anything like that. I've got all that stuff here. I got a 3-inch bar, all that. With just a hammer, with a program, could I get as much with that hammer as with all the other modalities I've just talked about?
Yes, I believe so. There's just so – I mean – leverage wise, you can change the leverage of it by doing some, you know, grip stuff,
yep.
and just from swinging it and grabbing it different ways in
yep.
that respect too.
Well, and you know, I'm always looking. Hey, the more you can put on your wrist, the better. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And fingers. I mean, you know, I love training hands because I'm a guy that when I see somebody, you know, if you see somebody. Forget about the wide shoulders or the back and all that. I always look at neck and hands on people. And there's guys that aren't real wide, but, you know, like we were getting into it. You remember we talked about the, you know, everybody being so obese. I mean, getting back to that, and this is where I'll correlate the two together, is the guys and women that worked in laborious jobs, if you look at them, obviously – they were larger people, bigger hands, big neck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see people, you know, I know outwardly if somebody lifts weights, that's not the point here. But I always size them up by the neck, hands, and wrists like that. Excuse me, because I know that if they're not laborers, they're into some pretty serious training because, you know, you're not growing big necks by doing nothing.
Right. Unless, like you spoke, the DNA was just blessed upon them with no work.
Damn it, those DNA guys again. That's what they – do you do any – you know what, while we're on neck, do you get in anything with neck, Ryan?
Yes, I love neck work.
Do you got – but, I mean, are you doing anything product-wise with – do you do anything –
No, I haven't. I try not to overcomplicate things. If there's easy ways to do it, you know, a lot of bridging. I've got sand bells. I don't know if you've seen those, but I'll put my head on those and do bridging on that surface.
Yep. Well, I've done some bridging, obviously, but I usually use neck harness.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hang the head off the end of the bench, put a plate.
Yep.
You know. But I'll tell you what, and this might be the cardinal sin of everything. People are going to be like, he owns that. I've got an original four-way Nautilus neck machine.
Oh, do you?
So anybody out there thinks now, oh, shit, no, that's not it. There's some things I can appreciate out there. I love those big cams, and it's a nasty machine. Not careful, you can injure yourself very bad on it. I've always been very careful with it, but my leaning really is to a harness. I like that feel whether I'm standing up or I'm sitting on a bench with it. And I feel one of the things I do with anybody that starts training over here, I do two things with them that anywhere they've been, it's never probably been done. I always start, I've got a couple big heavy bags, and one of them is laying across my Yes's back raise machine, and I always make them start doing just, you know, their head against there, up and down, side to side, and I always start them out on the grip machine because I feel those two areas you're very vulnerable, especially when you're out in the real world.
Yes.
You know, you get a shot to the jaw or something like that, and you don't have a strong neck. Chances are you're going to get knocked out or get knocked down pretty bad, and you might not recover. And I had a gentleman here that was in his 60s that couldn't even open a pickle jar. Once I got done with him, not only did he lose a ton of weight, but he could twist the tops off anything.
Nice.
So, you know, it can be done. You know what I mean? It does, you know, as we talked before, 25, has that become your limitation? Well, when you're 69, what's your limitation then if you're even alive?
Yeah.
Now, and I feel this stuff, I feel especially what you do with this grip stuff. I, you know, you don't have to be firing maces across a field, all right? But why don't you take a mace and just grab it and just walk around the, you know, street? Obviously, in this day and age, they might stop you or arrest you. But I think, you know, just the idea of holding things. You know, a lot of times I walk around, I'll be squeezing a softball in my hand.
Yeah, and the maces are they're for swinging more so than throwing. I think there's other implements better suited.
But you know what I mean. Yeah. If you're grabbing onto something, it's making the fingers and the hands work. And you know something, neurologically, we know that the hands connect to the brain big time. I've always been a guy. No matter what I do, if it's a squat, I grab that bar and I'll shake it literally. All right, because I know what's happening right there. The brain saying, okay, what's going on, man? What's this guy doing? You know, do we have to do something to either further it or what is he going to do here? So I've always been a big guy on grip, holding things, supporting things. I think they're vital to your growth. But here's the big drawback, if you want to call it that. Most people are going to be a little bit fearful of things like that. So once you're exposed to it, though, like you were saying and I was saying, it's like I can't even stop now. It's like I want to go to the next thing here and enjoy it and learn it and be better at it. And that's what I think all this stuff encompasses what we all do here is strength, man. There's nothing that's not connected. You can't say my mind is disconnected from my body. It's not. Everything is connected. Maybe at the times – when you're failing or things aren't working right, you're like, why? Well, these are life's lessons, and this is the way it is. And it's like to get, you know, grip, arm wrestling. Look at just to be able to do what you do with beating metal, building metal, cutting metal, welding metal, painting metal, tell us. I mean, you know damn well that the workout your body's getting, not even touching a weight, you want to go out that night and squat or pole, say, I mean, you are doing massive stuff from top to bottom on your body. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, yep, day in, day out, like things used to be.
Yeah, and you know something? The world, I think, was a lot better place because, let's face it, we've had through the stretch of time, there's always been some people that, I don't care about exercise, or I'm not going to work in that, or I like, you like a desk job, all that. That's fine. But you know something? Physicality to me is like the best.
Yeah.
It's, isn't it fun to just like, all right, whatever you're doing today, if you've built some stuff, and I'm sure you have, or you're painting something or whatever. See, stuff like that never gets monotonous to me because there's always going to be something else I want to build or something else I want to do, or someone's going to call me on the phone and say, hey, Ryan, I got this idea, man, and I'll send you some pictures, but I want to describe it to you. Like when we were talking just now, you're like, well, you gave me an idea for something maybe with the hammers now. It's these little things that it's like you cross each other a little bit here and say, well, I wish you'd do this, or maybe I don't like this, or this way you change it. It's phenomenal. So the labor, the love, and the creativity is like, I don't think it matters. I just know from my own experiences, I've been knocked on my ass so many times, all right?
Yeah.
And especially with starting the business here. But I'll tell you this, Ryan, one thing I do know now, no matter what happens, it's like I just welcome it now. And I'll tell you the reason why. Not only was it the luxury and the thankfulness of having parents that really cared, that are in your life, and sometimes they're too much in your life and you want to just say get away. But as you get older, you understand the whole deal, why they did what they did. And the best other thing was getting in the physical strength, because I'm telling you right now, for anybody out there that's listening for the first time and never done it, go find somebody. I'm sure Ryan, you can contact him. Contact me. I don't care. Go out there and try physical strength for a number of years or even decades and see what happens when things happen to you. Watch how much easier you'll be able to adjust and think to things. So
definitely.
With your experiences, I mean, have you found, if it wasn't for like physicals, I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You went through stuff. What do you, even in your daily life, I mean, what do you feel? I mean, do you feel that this whole stuff has made you much better, totally or?
Completely, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, if you're alive, you're always, if some part, worried about your health. And in today's society, people want that, their body's almost foreign to them. Why do I ache? Why does this hurt? Well, what are you doing? Nothing. Yeah. Well, can I take a pill for it? You sure can, but does that solve the problem? No. If you go, just go out and start some very basic, getting to know your body program. You're going to love it. You're going to feel better. You won't start needing, this or that, and you can take back your health, so to speak. But what it does is it builds that mindset of, okay, here's where I started. Somebody couldn't do a push-up or a pull-up. Well, once they do it, you go on to the next thing, and that goes over into your whole life.
Yeah, definitely. I agree totally with that. And the ability to be healthy and to do things is – see, we don't put a – there's not a high enough price put on things like that. And, when you see guys like you and myself and all the others that, we admire that are either friends or they've been on the show, you've gone out like a number of us, you've had an idea, a dream, you're an entrepreneur, number one. Okay. That's huge right there. You've competed in so many different areas. I mean, and then not only that, you've taken what you love to do and now you've made a life for yourself. To me, that's what I strive for every day, because I'm a guy that loves freedom. I've never had the freedom I've got right now, obviously, and we're going to change some other things, too, to keep going on with all this. But I can't tell everybody out there enough that go and do something you love to do. Take what you've learned from physical strength, your lifting, learn to apply that in your daily life. And, you know, people are paying thousands of dollars to hear people speak about this stuff. As I said before, Ryan, I think this is the way it is. I think that you stay with basic movements. I'll go with squat, deadlift. I'm an overhead guy, but if you want to bench press, that's your forte. Go ahead. I think when you keep things basic, obviously you can build in the sledgehammers. You can build Thor's hammer. You build into tire flipping. You know, I see you got out there the rubber to put in the ground to strike the tire, et cetera, right? But the biggest thing is learn to feed your mind. You know, feed it good things. Listen to good things. Get out there and experience it, because what I found more than anything, being creative, learning how to draw things up, hopefully you find a good fabricator, all these things, man, this all comes from strength. And when you can do this, look at my, am I ever going to be an NBA ball or a major league baseball player? No, I don't really care about it. All right. What I care about is, all right, maybe I want to go out and, you know, I want to go to Iceland and finally get the stone, get the monkey off my back. That's a big ass thing, because most people won't go near it because they're afraid of getting humbled by it. I don't care. I could fail 100 times. I'll get it 101, okay?
Yes.
Same way with Scotland. It's a different mindset what we live. We're not – look, I can work with anybody, but I'm not like a team of 50-plus guys on a football team, all right? I don't care to be part of that. I like working with small groups of people. I like doing things, creating things, and going out and executing it, taking action for everything. So that's what I feel this whole strength, what will I call it? Strength culture.
Yes.
Is, okay? I think that's what we're all about. And I can't speak for everybody, but this is what I've come up with over the, you know, the few decades. And sometimes, you know, being at the point where, and I'll admit it, I've come to the point at times where I was going to quit training. It got ugly for too long, and I didn't like it anymore. But I will tell you this, I could never do it, because I get back inside and say, what the hell was I saying to myself, or what was I doing? And I know we're all guilty of it, but you know something, you go through a lot of shit, and when things are failing or not going well, you say things like that, but in us, that innate deal of quitting will not happen. The only way I figure I'm going to quit is when they plant me in the ground.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's your basic movements. If you can teach people movements in their body, it'll apply to everything, a log, a squat bar.
Yep.
I think things get too caught up with the whole sales aspect of everything being thrown at people. They don't know where to start because they think they need a, you know, a certain implement. When you don't, yeah, you just need to go out and use your body with those basic movements, and you can apply that to whatever you pick up.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it'd be funny as hell, because I'm going to get those Thor hammers. I'll be walking down the main highway on my, you know, the main road to get into my street.
Yes.
Can you imagine people be flipping? Somebody will probably call the cops on me. I'll be taking those things, one in each hand, and just carrying them, man. Because, you know, just the look of those things, it's like, you know, sometimes perception with yourself, you know, how you perceive, and you don't have to be a hot dog about anything. But I'll tell you what, I've changed the scope of training on me a number of times where things might not be going so good. Maybe I go out and get a piece of equipment, or maybe move something somewhere else. And guess what, man? It's almost like a snapshot of that daydream.
Yeah, yep. It breathes a little life into what you're already doing.
Yeah. And you know something? The hunger in me will never die. You know, we might have to change a few things, obviously, as you get older. You got to accommodate age. I know you hear that constantly. I'm not a big believer in any of that. But I do know at probably 50 years old, I'm not going to be lifting a 400-plus stone. Maybe I'll be lifting a 300, but you know something? Everything's relative.
Yeah.
And to me, I remember Ken Leisner when he used to write for Milo and Hard Gainer. I used to love to read his articles. He had one time where he used to say, you know, like you're really on, man, when you're walking strong. And I had to think for a second. I was like, walking strong. Oh, I know that feeling, man. It's like, it's almost like, you know, you're bolt upright all the time, and you're not flexing or anything like that, but it's like you can feel everything in your arms, and your arms look all jacked,
yeah,
and your legs are big, man, and when you put a shirt on, a T-shirt, You can feel it like, you know, your traps and rhomboids and your spinal erectors, man. It's like, what a friggin' great feeling.
You're ready
to
go.
Who would want to feel like that?
Yes.
Who would want to feel like that? It's like, I feel like I could walk through an oak tree. Oh, I mean, see, that's what I like. You know, you got Thor, you got all the mythical stuff, yeah, man. You got the maces. It's like, you know, it's like when I go to Iceland, man, I'll have to tell the Valhalla, man, to come find you. It's like, it's just like, what a great friggin' way to live. I try to tell people that. A lot of them like it. You know, they like the enthusiasm of talking about it, but it's like, I like putting talk into action, you know? I like something. I'm not afraid to try it. If I get busted down, I get busted down. I'm going to come back and get it eventually. I think that's what we're all about as human beings.
Yes, definitely. And everybody has that spirit in them, and they just need that little spark to ignite it, and hopefully it stays lit for the rest of their life. And you know what? Right. I hope this show brings it to them and is that little spark for them.
Well, it will. I mean, these are – look at – we, like I said to you off air, I love it because we've built now a solid base with you, and this is what it's all about, because there's plenty of stuff to talk about that you've done, and hopefully you'll like this enough and we can get you back on and we'll get into something else. But I think that, you know, we've brought an attitude already here that, you know, you're doing some awesome stuff, man. I mean, you're building. It's like one of a kind, man. That's what I like about stuff like this. It's like, you know, Motivation Muscle, one of a kind. Go ahead and try to match it. You're not going to.
Yes,
all right?
Yes. You know,
and the same with you. Go ahead and try to match Ryan's stuff.
Yeah.
It might look good, but it's not Ryan's stuff. All right.
Nope. And I hope to provide a little inspiration for people too, because you know, you got excuse after excuse of going on your own or starting something. Well, hey, yep. I'm a guy that live in a town of 600 people, you know,
yeah,
made stuff out of his garage. Now I got a small shop, yep, didn't have a lot of capital. You know, I got a wife, 5 kids. You, yep, you have every excuse possible to just stick with what's comfortable.
Yep.
But, hey, you got to try stuff. You got to go out and do it.
And, you know, not only that, Ryan, eventually you got to look in the mirror.
Yes, yes. And I liked working at shops. Because
sure,
I liked making stuff, but what
sure
killed it was the people that run them.
Yeah, they kill everything.
Oh, it's insane. They got a good group of people wanting to do something good for them, and they
yep
just don't care.
No, and then what happens? One leaves, or they start thinning the herd out, and the next thing you know, it's like, okay, what am I going to do now? And, you know, obviously you build stuff. You're creative. It's quality. It's like, why are you making money for somebody else?
Right, right. Another thing that I would stress to anyone is books. I mean, with face it, in our day, when we had to look something up or research it, we had
yep
to put in hours at the library, and I did. I read tons of books. And today you have everything. You have YouTube. You have access to whatever you want. It blows
exactly
my mind that
yep
there's not more, you know, more people going after it or just – you know, achieving things, because the information is no longer a challenge to get. It's right there.
Yeah, but you know what, Ryan? It's your hunger, like I said in the beginning. And I think that entrepreneurship is the best thing you could ever deal with, but it's also a scary thing for a lot of people. And, you know, I know people that have tried stuff and they get hit once and that's it.
Yes, I would... My biggest recommendation is to search out those stories of the entrepreneurs that have done stuff, and as they read those and they see the challenges, you know, some of them may be made up, some of them are not, but it's
yep
still, you can't expect things to happen right away. You just
nope
know that they won't, and then embrace everything that comes your way, and if you're passionate about it and stick to it, you'll overcome those hurdles and things will happen.
Without a doubt. And remember this, whoever you're dealing with, surround yourself with that one good person or people. It's very essential to getting to the next step. I've gone through this for over 2 years. I feel I have somebody in place now, and we're about ready just to execute all the new stuff within the next 10 days. Might be earlier. You're going to go through a lot of minefields. There's no doubt about it. But the idea is, the learning experience I've had now Nobody could teach me.
Nice. Nope. Yep.
I'm telling you right now. And I hope to down the road even put stuff out on how to build a podcast, how the steps I took to get to where I got. And I'm not a guy that's going to go out and charge you $5,000 for it either, because I know what it was like to start out and not have a lot of capital. And it's like I spent hours on the internet trying to figure out how to do this, how to do that. And I come from a background of IT, so this was something that I had a lot of familiarity with, but it was still new and you had to learn it. So the advice I'd give to anybody, you know, entrepreneurship is this: find something you're passionate about. And I mean passionate about, not something that I like it this week and I don't care about it the next week. It's right. It's got to be something you truly love. If you can find that and you use your head and ask the right questions, maybe you get a mentor. Maybe you got to hire somebody, whatever it is. All I can tell you is just go into it with aggressiveness and the idea that this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I truly believe, unless you do something that's totally off the beaten path, you could be sitting there a few years later saying, hey, I did it. We're making money. I'm putting out good products, good information. I'm honest with my customers, and here I am today, and I plan on being around for another 30, 40 years.
Yeah, people appreciate that. That's for sure.
You're not kidding. Ryan, why don't you – is there anything else you want to add? Because we're right at a little over an hour. And if you'd like to, I'm not pushing it on air, but if you'd love to come on, we'd love to have you back.
Oh, you betcha. Anytime, Eric, anytime.
Why don't you give out all your information? Obviously, you know, the website, anything you want to add to it, I'll give you mine and just hang on the line for a minute, please, and we'll talk offline.
Sounds good.
So you got, why don't you give us your website and all that stuff, Ryan?
All right. Website is StrongerGrip.com. You can check out the Stronger Grip Facebook page or Ryan J. Pitts on Facebook.
Okay.
Email is Ryan@StrongerGrip.com if anybody has any questions or just wants to chat about strength or health.
Yep.
Clubs, maces, sledges.
Well, and the thing is, I always do this, and I'll tell this as I announce our stuff, but if there's something you'd want Ryan and I to talk about, or like Ryan said, you can get a hold of him, but you can also get a hold if you'd like us to do any type of show together at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And, you know, if you'd like something, I'll forward it to Ryan or talk to him, and I'm sure we could come up with something. So you got everything right now that you want out, Ryan?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats, Saugerties Chiropractic Center, Dr. William Wong's Essentials, AtomicAthletic.com, and MuscleMass.com. Please go out and look at these folks. All I can say is they are number one. They are the standard, and we couldn't be happier to have them aboard Motivation and Muscle and Fiorello Barbell Company. The websites are FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a review. Say whatever on your mind. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell and Motivation and Muscle. And Twitter, it's Fiorello Eric. And I believe that might be it. I don't think I'm forgetting anything, but you never know. There's so much stuff to get off now. And as I always say, if someone seeks you out in the gym or in the concrete jungle, give them a little of your time. You never know what you're doing for somebody. And you know something, you might be the only kind word or smile that person gets. So don't be afraid to do that. You never know what could come from just being decent to somebody. And also, get out and lift something real heavy, real big. You know, go out to Ryan's site, go order up one of those Thor sledgehammers, man. I mean, go out, lift some rocks, throw Thor around, whatever you want to do. I'm sure you'll have the time of your life. So, Ryan, thanks for being on Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's a great time.
Thank you. Anytime. So, for Ryan J. Pitts, this is Eric Fiorello. I've got a show tonight with Bill Crawford, obviously, the Icelandic Stone Man. He's on, and I've got a few more shows, and then we start next week. Next week is another big week. So, Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks to everybody for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.